Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
It's 802. It's J-Mart and Ramon. That's also where you find the program on Twitter, at J-Mart and Ramon. He is Ramon Foster.
I am.
Former Vol, always Vol, Vol for life. And former Pittsburgh Steeler. I don't know if there's an SFL, but there is a VFL.
It is.
That's Steelers Nation, by the way.
Yes. And so is Schaaf. It's all good,
just
man.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Only thing I don't like about Schaaf right now is he's not team iPhone, so.
Yeah, that's an
that
issue.
Demerit.
That is a demerit.
A demerit. And you were excited this morning, too, about the new watch.
The watch, the iPad.
An iPad.
Oh, my wife's listening right now. My birthday's coming up next month.
There we go.
Our one-year anniversary is the 22nd of this month.
Congrats.
Christmas is coming up. Also, you could just do something on a Friday for me. Any random Friday, just throw a device my way. I'll take it. I promise you, I will take it.
I'll say it. This Friday is what you want.
I mean, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I mean, that's truth.
That's all right.
That'll
too.
Preach. That'll preach right there. Yeah. At Ramon Foster, at JMAR Radio, at JMARTS and Ramon. Rhett Bryan, Titans Radio, will join us. I just saw him walk by. Actually, no, that was David Reed. wrong large white guy. Sorry, there's Rhett waving at me over here. I see the Titans hat now across the way in the Titans radio studio.
We do have a few bearded, large white guys at this station.
We do.
We have a few of them. Yep.
We do indeed. We talked about Vrabel's comments. Rui, he praised a few guys. He didn't praise Clowney. He supported Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
He gave some serious props to Corey Davis. Let me ask you this about Gostkowski real quick, because yesterday our poll was very much in favor of giving Gostkowski another week.
Uh-huh.
It's all based on what he's done in the past.
It is.
It's all based on if this was a dude at a training camp, if this was a dude that had a year of experience, I don't know that he would get another week. But no. I can say this, he better kick well this week. Like, I feel like the equity runs out real quick if he goes out there and he misses another kick. I almost think he has to be perfect.
He has to be really good. Only thing he can afford to miss is something 40 yards and plus. That's the only thing that
maybe
he can.
50.
You said 50.
I mean,
yards.
He missed 47, 44, and 42 on Monday. NFL kicker, you expect that guy to be able to make from 45 consistently.
And the fact that Tampa protected the kicker on their practice squad right now, too. We were texting yesterday, and I was talking about, you know, now everybody's having their virtual tryouts for kicker to teams that need them right now. But the thing that I'll say about Gostkowski and the way Coach Vrabel is supporting him because of his past, when you have stock in the bank with certain coaches or in just in this league in general, you get opportunities. I think we can agree, like last year, Vinatieri, we were watching him kick. I was like, okay, how much longer is this going to last, you know? Or you look around the league, when you have a serious reputation, as in a guy like Adrian Peterson, you know, everybody say, you know, he's an old running back, he's past his time, and. But he gets cut in Washington, get a chance in Detroit just like that. You look at a guy like Jason Peters, who's a starting now left tackle in Philly. He's a guy that they signed because, one, they trust what he's done in the past. He knows the system. He knows how to do the job. Yes, Chase Young did get his first career sack on him, but he's a guy that's been a steady Eddie for a long time in this league, and when you have that reputation, you're going to get opportunity after opportunity. Same can be said for another guy that we've seen in this league that can be very good players, Vontaze Burfict. Think about the opportunities that he's gotten up until recently because of his own transgressions. But when you are in this league and you have a certain reputation and you can, when they get you on the field, you play and you play well, you're going to get these opportunities. The same way as Gostkowski, he's, I don't want to say he's owed that, but you see the justification in bringing him back and Vrabel supporting him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's supporting. He's supporting everybody.
Yeah,
and yeah, the easy thing to say is that's what you do. You support your people. It's politically smart. You're not going to go out there and bury guys. But I mean, Bruce Arians, sort of half buried Tom Brady.
He did
on Monday. So it's not universal across the league that that's going to happen. This is, and I don't think it's just the familiarity between the two of these guys. I think it's just. When we were talking about the kicking game, and I saw this yesterday, I need to go find this stat again. This was one of the worst kicking weekends in recent memory in the NFL, and a lot of that has to be due to the preseason.
It is. It's absolutely due to the preseason. Kicking in practice is no stress-free. It's stress-free at all. I mean, all the way. I was looking at this guy, sent you guys a clip of it, of him kicking in a high school stadium. Like, he's kicking 55-yarders. I'm like, yeah, but he's calm. Nobody else is around him. He doesn't have to worry about a human being catching the snap, sitting it the way he needed to be sat down, and kicking it and having the pressures of your teammates on you. Like, it's a lot that goes into it. We laugh at the kickers as them not being athletes or they don't do a whole lot in practice. But the anxiety of being able to get that job done when you know you need those points, your offense either had a long drive or a big play for them to be able to put themselves in the scoring position is up on you to be able to close the deal. That's a lot of pressure. And when you don't put those guys in that situation with the preseason that we had this year, it can lead to this type of stuff. We saw a lot of people just missing field goals. You know, I mean, extra points.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the point of them moving the field. I mean, the extra point back is to add a little bit of anxiety, make those guys earn their keep a little bit, or separate the ones who can and the ones that just cannot at all.
Other guys that Vrabel singled out, Brett Kern, who, I think is the response to that. Brett Kern is preposterously good at his job as a punter.
Yeah.
Harold Landry, who showed a little bit of that bend that you want to see from Harold Landry on Monday night. Jeff Simmons, Big Jeff, and pretty much. A lot of these are pretty obvious.
It's obvious,
Then he mentioned special teams ace Chris Milton for coverage in special teams. That's one that I guess the broadcast on television certainly didn't talk about at all, but that's good that a coach sees something like that and wants to point it out. Somebody that's a little off the radar is probably not going to get nearly as much airtime, not just nationally, but even locally.
Yeah, and that's the cool part about him being able to bring a light to his role players in a sense. You know, I know Jeff Simmons is not a role player, but he's a young guy that's growing in a way that says, hey, like we're here. He's here for a long time, and like you said, seeing Landry being able to show why he's a starter on this defensive front is to help his growth, help his confidence, to help him add a little extra pressure to himself too, to continue that performance. You know, I always tell my kids this is, if you hit, when my son first hit his home run, okay, you hit one, can you hit another one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay. I know you just ran for 50 yards, Derrick Henry, but can we get another 15 out of you? You know, it's, keep doing it. It's over and over and over is what he's demanded from these guys. And I know he doesn't have to do that for the punter because he's one of the best in the world, but seeing him call out certain guys, look at the list of guys that he's putting a little bit of spotlight on. It's guys that he know that he has to have them the entire season. Their growth has to continue.
Let's go to Paul. He is in Franklin. He's on the line. You can always have your say on our say at 615-737-1045. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I didn't get a chance to watch the game the other night. Lord have mercy, I had to get up at 3 a.m., so I couldn't watch it. Wanted to, love the Titans. But I did see the highlights, some highlights of it, and I'm going to tell you what, that defensive front for the Titans is going to be a monster. And, I mean, it's only going to get better with the addition of Clowney and Simmons getting some time under his belt. I'm telling you what, the Titans defensive front is going to win a bunch of ball games for us this year because, you know what? Defense travels. And like I said, the Titans are turning into a road warrior team, and defense travels. And I'm telling you what, I think the future is very bright if you're a Tennessee Titan. Thank you, and y'all have a great day.
Paul talking about getting up at 3 a.m. just made me think of Office Space. Like, get my ass up.
Yeah.
3 a.m., I'm doing the drywall up there at the new McDonald's, Diedrich Bader style.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But he's right about his assessment of what they are as a defensive line. The good thing, too, that they have working for them, they got some old and they got some young. You know, I see the roster. You got a guy like Jack Crawford, who's an older guy. Daquan Jones is in the middle of that. Okay, he's starting to take flight in his career. That's what you want. That's as far as the development of all the young guys that's behind him. And when you have a group of guys that can teach the young guys, show them how to work, as he said, that defensive line is going to create havoc for teams to come into this season. Because and the best part about it too is they're going to be a defense that's seasoned to stop the run. Because why? That's what the Titans offense do in practice. We've always looked at, you know, when we were doing the game planning for the week, what does their offense do against their defense? I always studied that. If they are a passing offense, well, this guy's probably a really good rusher on the other side. The Titans are a really good rushing team. So guess what they do all camp long? That coach is the defensive coordinator is harping on them. Hey, stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been instilled in them. And when you can make a team one dimensional, except for Kansas City so far, you got a good chance of winning the game or at least controlling what you will allow an offense to do.
Well, we can control what we allow on our radio show. And up next, it'll be Rhett Bryan, the executive producer of Titans Radio. We will jump into all of these issues, what Vrabel had to say and what Rhett saw on Monday from the week one victory over the Denver Broncos. A lot of Titans still to come here on the program. It is 8:14 on 104.5 The Zone.
Walking slowly, wearing his familiar number 3. A 25-yard kick left hash. He's missed from 47. He's had one block from 44. He's missed from 42. He's missed an extra point. Snap, set, kick. Good! Redemption for Gostkowski.
Redemption. 25 yards and a victory, 16-14 over the Broncos.
That was a great call, by the way, too.
It was. It always is. I wish I could roll my R's like Mike Keith. That's my aspiration in life. It's J. Mart and Ramon. 8:22 is the time. He's at Ramon Foster on Twitter. I'm at J. Mart Radio. He played at Tennessee, at the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Well, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not really at them. That sounds like a road game.
Yeah.
Definitely not a road game for you, Mo.
No, we're home, despite everybody thinking.
Gosh. I might get 3 before. I don't know. I may already have 3.
You have 3 already.
You already have a citation.
Yes.
What happens after a citation? What's the wall of punishment or something like that we're going to have to institute on the program? Welcome in another office super fan, Rhett Bryan at Rhett B. Tennessee on Twitter, executive producer of Titans Radio. We actually did a series of office podcasts last year.
Lots of fun, too.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm all out of Shroot Bucks this morning, though.
Yeah. Shroot Bucks?
All out of Shroot Bucks. See, Mo wasn't here yet for that. We did, like, what, 4 or 5 different office podcasts.
And we could have done much more because we took deep dives into episodes and characters and just dropped all kinds of one-liners from episodes that the casual office fan would have forgotten about.
Yeah, that's right. Then we did the office cast draft. Like, yes. It was a fantasy football draft end of it.
Absolutely.
As well. This is what you missed, man. You should have been here earlier.
I should have. We were trying to keep it under wraps, and I had this other job that I had to retire from first, too. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah, Big Ben, they still needed your help. That's right.
They still needed it Monday.
It won the poll, too. Don't tell
anybody. Yeah, that's because Pittsburgh fans are a legion. They're a problem.
You know what? We'll see Titans fans getting there now. That's for sure.
That's right. Rhett, so what did you see on Monday? What are your just top-line observations from the 16-14 win?
Well, you know, the thing I think is interesting is it was the best debut week one performance by Derrick Henry, and he earned it. There wasn't any long plays in there. I think his longest run was 13 yards or whatever. But 31 carries, hard runs for 116 yards. That's the best opening day performance he's had. The closest thing to it was 19 carries for 84 yards and a blowout over the Browns last year in week one. So he's right where he left off, and he is earning the money that he gathered in the offseason that he had earned because he'd outperformed his rookie contract. So he is on par to have another stellar season, knock on wood. So that's the first thing. Defensively, Jeffrey Simmons, that if you saw a lot the other night, Monday night, at just a handful of plays, why Jarrell Casey is wearing a Denver Broncos uniform
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to move on from him a year early because Jeff is ready. You can tell he has no hesitation in the confidence and ability level that he has in that repaired knee, no brace on there, and he is effecting plays, and you saw it firsthand. I thought Harold Landry did a fantastic job on defense as well. And can you tell Corey Davis is in a contract year?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, that dude went up and got it, and he wasn't afraid. I mean, you talk about 50-50 ball combat catches. He got them. But I thought, you know, in two of the three phases, it was pretty doggone good football. It's just the Steven Guskowski part was the puzzling part of all of it. And, you know, you guys have gone over the numbers, you know, the week one kicks and
it was bad
overall
man.
Efficiency of things. Yeah, it's as bad as it's been in 20-30 years or whatever. So you can tell, and Ramon, nobody has to tell you, it's in those guys' heads. They have to get out there and get their practice kicks done. They need those preseason games. That's why they're out there warming up and kicking and trying during pregame stuff and halftime. They're trying to run into the marching band and whoever's performing at halftime. In a regular year, they have to have those reps. They have to have them.
Yes, they do. The thing that a lot of people come out of Denver saying is that was an ugly win. How do you view this game, this past game, before we move on to Jacksonville? Uh-huh. How do you view that win for the Titans?
I'm going to tell you, Ramon, it's a win. I don't care what it is. You're 1-0. You went on the road in a crazy year with no preseason game and got an AFC road win. Nobody has to tell you as a Pittsburgh Steeler how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done, Ramon, all 438 Titans games with Mike Keith. And I can tell you with almost 100% certainty, there are years past in good Titans teams and bad ones where that would have been a Titans loss. And that tells me not only where Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff has this team in their maturity level and fighting back and clawing out a win, but just kind of where this thing might be going in a small sample size in 2020. That would have been a loss in a lot of years.
Yeah, it would have been. And it doesn't – look, Miss Congeniality works, right? Like, I mean, you don't have to win by 200 points in the NFL. All you need is one in the W
column.
The prettiest
thing is a W.
Especially when you look at the rest of the division, Rhett.
Right.
And you see the Colts lose to Jacksonville, and Houston really just flat looked bad against Kansas City. I feel like Titans fans should feel better about a 16-14 win than maybe they otherwise would just looking at everything else that happened around them.
Absolutely. And look, if I'm a Houston fan, first of all, I'm worried about Deshaun Watson's health with that O-line. I certainly hope that O-line gels and does better later on if I'm a Houston guy. But you look at the way Jacksonville beat the Colts at home, and the stat sheet tells all the story. I mean, you got three turnovers that led to 13 points and all of that. And, you know, two of their five explosive plays were touchdowns. The Colts rookie kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship, misses a field goal. They fail on fourth down inside the Jacksonville five. I mean, they're plus three in turnover, giveaway, takeaway already. So there's something you got to watch out for the Titans. And then Gardner Minshew, don't sleep on this dude. He looks like he's a character from a 70s Burt Reynolds movie, but that dude can throw it around. I mean, great game for him. And they're getting, you know, contribution from places like this James Robinson kid, the rookie from Illinois State. Coach Mack and I looked at him in draft process. That dude, he got a lot of numbers in a smaller school setting, but he can make it happen, and he's contributing already as an undrafted. So they've got to be on their P's and Q's with this, but they've got X plays that they can execute with a guy like DJ Chark, toss it downfield to him. So, yeah, this is going to be huge. And Lord knows what happens when these two teams play. There's just crazy stuff that happens when the Titans and Colts play every time.
No question about that. And Titans-Jaguars this coming Sunday, that'll be the matchup. No fans in attendance. I just want to throw this stat out in case people missed it. You mentioned Blankenship missing kicks in addition to – or missing a kick – in addition to what we saw from Goskowski. Here's the stat. NFL kickers, 12 different kickers missed at least a field goal. Kickers combined missed 19 field goals in week one. 71%, 48 of 67 were made. For reference, over the last three seasons, league-wide has been at 81, 85, and 84%. So that's how bad the kicking was in week one. So maybe
Now, Jason, let me underline it with this.
Yeah.
And this is something that's in the Jags' favor. Now, on the road, we're going to see. But Josh Lambeau, the field goal he kicked towards the end, 45 in a row at home he's made for the Jags.
Oh, what, wow. Look, I mean, I was trying to look at the fantasy team. I'm like, maybe I need to pick up Josh Lambeau as a flyer this weekend.
Absolutely. And let me tell you something else. There's a lot of leagues. I'm in a media league with a bunch of our guys and with the Titans folks, and Gardner Minshew's still sitting there on undrafted, unclaimed. I almost took him as a flyer in the 15th round myself just because I thought they were going to be so bad. He was going to be chucking it a lot, getting junk yardage in the second half. He might not be a bad backup option, or at least when your starter has a bye week.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Gardner Minshew, after hearing Coach Vrabel's presser a little bit yesterday, you can kind of see like the focus in his voice a little bit moving forward.
Yeah.
With this AFC South being the way it is, I mean, Rivers had a bad showing last week, especially got beat by Minshew and the Jaguars. But do you think it's too early to call this Jacksonville game a trap game for the Titans? Meaning they are what everybody's talking. They're in the upper echelon of the conversation right now. Is the Jacksonville Jaguars a trap game for them as far as, you know, them just letting one drop? Like you said, in years past,
sure,
that's happened.
I don't think so because of the way they had to win on Monday night.
Okay.
I think they're focused on that because they're like, hey, man, we scratched one out here on the West side of the U.S. and we know how it can be in this, and it's a double whammy. It's almost like getting two wins if you beat a division rival and an AFC, you know. So I mean, I feel like, and in fact, Dennis Kelly was on Keith Bullock's show last night here on the Zone on Titans Tonight, and he talked about, you know, he said we call it rust. We got to knock some rust off, and we asked him, we're like, hey, this is the perfect time to focus on knocking that rust off because you got a division foe, and you know, at Sunday at Nissan Stadium. He said, absolutely. And I think the one thing that was interesting he said last night in these virtual games for everyone in terms of no fans being there, he said, you know, they're using electronic whistle. So it's just a signal on the belt pack that the official has, not a physical whistle in this thing. And he said those refs were actually forgetting to depress the button on the electronic whistle, and the play would have long been over. He said those are some things that the league is trying to work through that he was interested in as, you know, the league rep for the Titans in this. I thought that was very interesting, him bringing that up last night. But, yeah, they've got to go get this one. You go get this one, you start 2-0, and you got two AFC wins and one division win in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is what I thought might be the case in this thing with no preseason games, is the teams bringing back multitudes of starters on both sides of the ball and having continuity would have a leg up. And certainly with the way this team is built, with a Derrick Henry who, again, 31 carries, 116 yards in this thing, if you can notch out some early wins in this while guys, you know, in other places are playing sloppy ball, you can make some hay right here. Because listen, the New York Jets, that's about the worst team. They might be the Trevor Lawrence sweepstake winners in a small sample size window. They were awful.
Yeah, they
golly.
Were.
Pre-snap penalties out the wazoo. You could tell they were not disciplined at all.
He was new to the proceedings. We saw Clowney show up early, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then later in the game, maybe not as much, but he was out there a lot. Like he was playing, I think he played over 80% of the snaps.
47 snaps. And I thought he'd be more on a 15 to 20 snap pitch count type of thing. Now, maybe the Vic Beasley part of that comes into play. But Harold Landry still got a bunch of snaps himself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was effective in those first probably 15, 20 snaps. And then you started to see him fade away a little bit towards the end, and that's just in the, you know, football-shaped part of it, getting into the football conditioning. But you can see why they brought him in. And like I said, Jeffrey Simmons and a lot of these guys, the other 10 dudes on this defense, they're gonna reap some serious dividends out of this. And then if he's able to actually affect the play and make the quarterback sack or the forced fumble or whatever, that's all for the better.
What does it say about Chris Jackson that he's out there in week one?
Well,
I mean, obviously there was a Dory out and stuff like that, but still, I mean, clearly he showed out. I know Glennon wrote a piece at Broadway Sports Media that maybe we'll talk about more tomorrow, just about, look, you got to get him ready to play. You drafted him, and Chris Jackson did enough to at least earn some PT.
Well, and I watched him. I watched every training camp practice with Coach McGinnis, and we kept noticing number 35. just in his approach, just in the way, and he would just get a little better every day. We both thought, well, this guy's got a chance to make the roster, and he may have a chance to contribute. We didn't realize it was going to be in a rotational situation in his first game as a rook on Monday Night Football on the road. But, yeah, I mean, they truly, you know, working to back into this roster, this is where you're going to really see the John Robinson Patriots influenced his early career type of deal. Yeah. They're going to try to find the guys that can make this happen. Now, I mean, look at, you know, Malcolm Butler's out there, and he was an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a physical corner that's out there battling every, you know, so, you know, if Chris Jackson ends up being Malcolm Butler, fantastic. But, you know, they're going to try to find these young men wherever they played ball. And if they can do it and they can coach them up, they're going to put them out there.
Yeah. As a former undrafted guy, I like that concept.
Yes,
okay?
You do.
I love that because those guys understand, number one, how to work. And you said this is a guy that you saw get better from day in and day out. And that's what you have to do. You have to have a good core of those guys around your team that helps support your team. Because, as you said, you're going to get a lot out of a young guy like that. But I got a quick question for you.
Yep.
You've seen a lot of this team over the years, mm-hmm. okay, from when they came here and all, from the Music City musical all the way up to now. And you've seen the bad in between. How optimistic or cautious are you about what you're seeing from this squad right now?
I think it might be the best Titans team that they've fielded in 17, 18 years.
Yeah, you can let it breathe, Rhett, but you're right. I mean, I've asked that question too, and all the listeners that have replied to us have said the same thing. It's like, we haven't been this optimistic since, you know, guys named Eddie and Steve were on this team.
I mean, they've already made a run to the AFC Championship game, so, you know, and nobody has to tell you, Ramon, that, you know, getting back to that is not as easy as advertised.
No.
I mean, I've been doing this for 23 years, and I'm waiting to go back to another Super Bowl.
It's hard.
Yeah. So, but, you know, and everybody wants to talk about, well, should they have given the money to Ryan Tannehill? Hey, did you see what he did? Mm-hmm. Did you see how he spread the ball around? And by the way, a healthy Adam Humphries was another thing I took away from the other night. And that's how much better that could they have been last year had he been healthy? That dude just goes out and gets it. And then you got that great catch from Michael Pruitt for the touchdown. You know, I mean, they've got contributors coming from all angles, and they're spreading this thing around effectively. Arthur Smith is the big feather in their cap in all of this on the offensive side. They're going to have a hard time keeping him as the OC. Somebody's going to come after him as a head coaching candidate if this continues on the trajectory that I think it is.
Yeah, and that's what you don't want to hear, right? Because Arthur being here, but obviously
he's the OC. So, you know, good. But, yeah, they're going to have trouble keeping him down the road.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, I'm extremely optimistic from what I see. And, again, winning on the road, late game, you know, western coast of the country and the travel and all that, and they scratch out a win. There are so many years on decent and good football Titans football teams, they would have lost that game. And
Vic Fangio helped him out too.
He sure did. Yeah, he absolutely did. And that's he did his part. That's true.
And admitted to it, actually, yesterday, finally, after defending it after the fact. He's like, you know what? That's my bad on that.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
Does not lie.
All right, Rhett. Jaguars coming up Sunday. We're looking forward to the broadcast, as always. Your point was right. The TV broadcast wasn't bad, but they were missing some stuff early, and you just fired back at me. We'll just listen to Titans radio.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Touche, my friend.
Mike and Mac have always got you covered. You have a former head coach telling you everything. He knows every formation they're going to line up in before they can think about lining up, and telling you decisionally, you know, just like a head coach would as he's managing a game from three phases, 30,000 feet up. And then you got one of the best in a play-by-play guy, Mike Keith, who you'll never out-prep him. You'll never out-study him. He has a retention level that is freakish. And the rest of us just kind of make the machine what it is. But I'd put our stuff up against any of the other 32 last weekend. I promise you that.
Yeah, no doubt. I would too. Rhett, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoyed the visit, guys. Thanks.
That is Rhett. That was a fast segment, man.
It was.
We could have done more there. We barely even scratched the surface, but that's when you've done it right. When we come back, the biggest of news out of the Big Ten, football is happening officially. Yeah. We'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back. Also, Trey Smith. Not real thrilled about the K-May situation, but that audio is great. It's going to make your day. Exactly. It's going to make your day better. It's 840, J-Mart and Ramon. And that's what you look up if you're finding us on Twitter as well. We'll be right back on 104.5 The Zone.
We're getting ready to announce our Husker in Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
That's the Nebraska, was it the AD or was it university president that was on the hot mic that he didn't know was hot, right?
Coming in hot.
Saying, hey, you know, we're going to announce football tonight. Well, they have announced it this morning. Big Ten expected to start the season on October the 24th, perhaps on Friday the 23rd per Dennis Dodd, but it looks like Saturday the 24th, an 8-game season. And there's some craziness surrounding this that's going to – tomorrow we're going to spend a lot of time on this. Big Ten has no built-in bye week, zero.
Wow.
A 21-day suspension of play for anybody testing positive, and a shutdown threshold of 5%. If a team hits 5% positive, then they must shut down.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see how this actually happens, because they are setting up a lot of contingencies to still not play, it sounds like to me.
It seems like they're just trying to put forth an effort to say we did, because I'm sure the pressure coming from those kids or just overall fan bases, or it might be the financial side of it. It's what we fail to realize sometimes. Yes, amateur sports, but there's a business booming behind all of the amateurism. So they're giving it a shot, which is what the kids wanted. So, and the fans, it'll be interesting to see what comes from it moving forward.
Yeah. So we'll spend a good bit of time. We'll look at some of the specifics as they come out later today, and we will spend time on it tomorrow. We can go ahead and tell you this. Thursday mornings on this program at 8:15, Andy Staples of The Athletic will be joining us every week. We are super excited about that. I think he's about as good as it gets in college football. So we will have him tomorrow to speak on this. Anthony Heron also, who covers the Big Ten and is a host in Chicago and played at Iowa, also played in the NFL for the Detroit Lions. He will be on the show tomorrow. We're looking at potentially efforting somebody else. There's going to be a lot of college on the show tomorrow, in addition to the obvious Titans-Jags discussion. But we got to do this, man. This is audio you got to hear. Kay Mays and this whole waiver situation from the NCAA. Listen to Trey Smith just wax poetic. Just make sure you're not driving too fast. Put your beverages down. This will make your day better. Here's Trey Smith.
You know, I always wanted to play with Kay since high school. I remember talking about Mr. Football, different things like that, following each other over the years, you know, staying connected. And then finally we get to the point where he came back home. He's at Tennessee. We're going to play with each other. And then, you know, see a decision that's basically trying to shoot down the hard work and discredit this kid who, at the end of the day, I mean, he's coming to work every day. He's busting his butt. He's going to practice. I mean, the people who are making these decisions are just sitting in the meeting room, just drinking coffee and just looking at paper. You know, so it's really asinine to say the least, man. We're talking about a season where eligibility doesn't even matter. You're not going to clear this kid. So at the end of the day, man, we can only focus on what we can focus. We can control the controllables that we can control. You know, that the people eating in meeting rooms and wearing suits and walking around all day don't want to clear this kid who's busting his butt, bleeding, sweating, getting hit on the field consistently. You know, that's their choice and that's their option, you know. But at the end of the day, do right by a kid who's working hard, working his butt off and trying to be great. You know, that's how I look at it.
You like that? You like that?
Trey. That was not from the same press conference.
No, but Trey, a.k.a. Truth Teller. Okay,
he's 1,000% right.
It's so many wrongs in this case. As far as you say, kids get an extra year. This year doesn't count. Well, why isn't this kid playing? Like, who's behind it, moving the puppet strings? Like, come on! Like, let's get this over with already. It's dramatics of it. This school's in Knoxville. Okay, it's not like it's a big media-based state or media-based community. It's Knoxville. Get this kid on the field, and we're talking about an offensive lineman. It's not like it's your. Or maybe that is the problem then. We're not talking about a quarterback.
Well, I mean, sometimes offensive linemen aren't that smart, right, Shay?
Yeah, right. We are the smartest, okay? That is... No. See, look at...
Jeez. I'm about to break the wrist and walk away real quick.
Yes, mm-hmm. you are.
You're about to have your wrist broken, and he's going to walk away.
I heard it. You heard it. Twitter heard it. Moan.
You got me.
Too much Steelers in you, man.
I heard it.
All right, so what are we referring to, boys?
We were referring to, I don't know what this play is. I know the Music City Miracle was in the top 10 NFL plays, I think, on NFL Network a couple of years ago. Well-deserved. I don't know what the Music City Musical is. I don't know if that's Kenny Chesney performing something.
Can't get caught lacking on this show, okay? I see that right now. This is supposed to be a judge-free zone. You're behind your plexiglass, and I'm behind mine. And Shafe. Right. Shafe is the one that pinpointed it out, okay? And you know what? I'm taking your gift card back.
Jabroni!
One more time from Dwight Schrute there, Shafe.
That is demerit.
That's it. That's what we do on this show. We give out demerits.
All right, let's go behind the curtain even more. We're owning this right now, so I don't have some clown on Twitter saying, he's not a Nashville or Titans guy.
Simone, we're actually doing this for you.
I know, and you know what's crazy? I'm from here. I remember when that happened, okay? I'm a part of that. I was cheering too then, so yeah.
You want to talk about your boy out in the hotel?
Is he out?
I didn't see him. I saw the girl, but I didn't see him.
So outside the studio, there's this hotel, and I think it's a long stay place. And this guy, every morning, if he's listening, he gives me a joy because I'm like, that guy has a routine. But most of all, he's okay with himself.
He's
okay?
Living his best life.
He walks outside every day with his boxers on, no shirt on. And he's not a six pack type of guy. He's a round type of guy, and he sits on this balcony, breathes in this great Nashville air, and pulls a drag from his cigarette, okay?
And you know it's a Newport, or it's a Marlboro Red. There's no light here on this.
He's so comfortable with himself. I hope you guys are as comfortable listening to us as this guy we see on the balcony every morning.
That guy takes such a long drag, his ashes have ash on them.
Well, Ramon got a demerit. I think I got 4 today.
You did.
Citation.
I think that's right. I might have got 2 demerits today.
Our thanks to Bruce Gradkowski, a Pro Football Focus, and Rhett Bryan tomorrow. Andy Staples, Anthony Heron. A lot on the Big Ten decision as we see and hear more later on today. We'll get you all set up for Thursday Night Football and certainly preview Titans-Jags as we'll do for the remainder of the week. He's Ramon Foster on Twitter. At Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin at JMart Radio. We're at JMart and Ramon. We'll do it again tomorrow. Remember, your mic is always hot.